What if the only thing standing between you and greatness was the voice in your own head? This is the story of a man who silenced that voice, shattered every limitation, and turned pain into power. From an abused, overweight kid with no future to a Navy SEAL, ultra-endurance athlete, and living symbol of mental toughness, David Goggins proves that your mind is your strongest muscle. But here's the truth. He's not special. You are capable of the same transformation. This is not motivation. This is a wake-up call. Welcome to Can't Hurt Me, where excuses die and the real you is born. Chapter 1. The Boy Who Was Broken. Welcome to Can't Hurt Me. A journey that begins not with a triumph, but with trauma. A story that doesn't start in strength, but in suffering. And yet, from the ashes of that suffering rises one of the most powerful testaments to the human spirit you'll ever hear. This is the beginning of David Goggins' story, not the Navy SEAL, not the ultra-marathon runner, not the record-breaker, but the scared, beaten, broken boy living in darkness. Because before you understand the strength of the man, you must first witness the weakness he conquered. The House of Pain. David Goggins was born in 1975 in Buffalo, New York. From the outside, it might have seemed like any other American childhood. But inside the Goggins household, life was a living nightmare. His father, Trunnis Goggins, ran a roller skating rink, a seemingly joyful business, but beneath the surface was a world of violence and control. Trunnis was a manipulator, a tyrant, a man who believed in power through pain. David, his older brother, and his mother were prisoners in their own home. Beatings were regular, fear was constant, and childhood was stolen before it even began. At the age of just 6, David was forced to work long hours at his father's rink. Nights were spent wiping down rental skates, cleaning bathrooms, and dealing with customers. He wasn't a child. He was an employee, a servant, and a punching bag. And if he didn't work fast enough or dared to cry, his father would make sure he remembered the consequences. The physical abuse was horrific, but the emotional damage ran deeper. Goggins was told he was nothing, over and over again. That kind of conditioning, it carves scars into your soul. Escape into the unknown. Eventually, his mother couldn't take it anymore. She grabbed David and fled the house, leaving the older brother behind. For David, the escape was a moment of relief, but also confusion. How do you process trauma when you're just a kid? How do you rebuild your sense of self when your foundation was made of fear? They started over in Brazil, Indiana, a small town, a new life. But the damage didn't just vanish. The emotional weight of his early years clung to him like chains. David was falling behind in school. He could barely read. He had no confidence, no hope, no belief that he could become anything more than a scared, broken boy. To make matters worse, he was one of the few black kids in town. He faced racism, ridicule, and isolation. Kids called him names, spat at him, and reminded him that he didn't belong. He wasn't just running from his past. He was living in a world that told him every single day, "You are not enough." The epidemic of fear. At this stage in his life, David Goggins lived in fear. Fear of failure, fear of judgment, fear of pain, fear of life itself. And that fear didn't just live in his head, it owned him. He pretended to be someone he wasn't. He cheated on school tests to get by. He lied about who he was to avoid being bullied. He avoided challenges, dodged confrontation, and settled into the shadows. Most people do the same. Most people live with a silent agreement. If I don't try too hard, I won't fail too hard. But Goggins knew deep down that this wasn't living. This was survival, and survival is not enough when you're born for more. The turning point, an encounter with the truth. One day, David looked in the mirror and saw a stranger staring back. overweight, insecure, full of excuses. He was barely a teenager, but his eyes looked tired. Tired of the lies, tired of hiding. This is when he met what he would later call the accountability mirror. He took sticky notes and wrote down every truth he had been avoiding. Not motivational quotes, not dreams, truths. You're fat. You're dumb. You're lazy. You're lying to yourself. This wasn't self-hate, it was radical honesty. And it was the first step toward mental toughness. Because you can't build strength on lies, you have to face the reality of who you are, not who you pretend to be. Challenge 1. Face your own mirror. At the end of every chapter in Can't Hurt Me, Goggins gives a challenge. A mission. Something to push your limits. Challenge hash 1 is this. Go to your own mirror, be honest. Write down every weakness you have. Everything you're hiding from. Everything that makes you uncomfortable, and then look at it every day until you start to change it. This is the foundation of the entire book. Before you can become mentally strong, you have to be mentally honest. You can't fight the enemy if you don't know what it looks like, and sometimes the enemy is looking right back at you in the mirror. From victim to warrior. David Goggins could have stayed a victim. The world would have understood, abused child, traumatized, beaten, scarred. Nobody would have blamed him for settling into a life of mediocrity. But he chose the harder path. He chose to become a warrior. And warriors are not born. They are made in fire and suffering and darkness. Goggins began building a mindset that would one day take him through Navy SEAL Hell Week. 3 times. That would carry him through ultramarathons, pull-up records, and life-threatening challenges. But all of it began here, in the mind of a scared kid staring into a mirror, telling himself the truth for the first time in his life. Final reflections. Pain is fuel. What most people see as pain, Goggins began to use as fuel. His past became his power, his scars became his strength. He realized something profound. You are not your past, but you are what you do with it. You can sit in your story and let it define you, or you can use it as a starting line. A voice for the silent ones. Goggins doesn't just tell his story to impress you. He tells it for every kid who's been told they're worthless, for every adult still haunted by childhood scars. For anyone who's ever looked in the mirror and hated what they saw. He says, I've been there, and I didn't just survive, I transformed, and so can you. This chapter is not about glory, it's about origin, about the ugly truth we all carry and the choice we all face. You can let your pain destroy you, or you can let it forge you. Chapter 2. The birth of a warrior mindset. David Goggins was no longer the terrified child trapped in a nightmare. But that didn't mean his battle was over. Far from it. If anything, life was about to test him harder than ever before. Because escaping a violent home is only the first step. The real war begins when you try to rebuild yourself with nothing but broken pieces. The weight of the world. As Goggins moved into high school, he was still struggling. He could barely read or write at grade level. He suffered from a severe learning disability. And now racism wasn't just name-calling. It was systemic and suffocating. He felt invisible in classrooms, hunted on the streets. He wore an invisible backpack filled with fear, insecurity, and trauma, so heavy it almost crushed him daily. And yet, something inside him whispered, you were made for more. But that whisper was drowned out by the noise of failure, rejection, and pain. Becoming the ghost. So he put on a mask. He became what he calls a chameleon. He pretended to be what others expected. A tough guy, a class clown, even a cheater. He faked test scores to get through school. He wore baggy clothes to hide his insecurity. He smiled to cover the depression that haunted him. He had no real goals, no purpose, just survival mode. Then came a dream, a fantasy really, becoming an Air Force pararescueman, one of the toughest military roles in the world. Could he do it? Not with who he was, not yet. But this is the moment where a new voice entered his life, not a whisper but a challenge. What if I could? What if I became the man I've never seen but always needed? First attempt. Failure in the Air Force. Goggins applied to join the Air Force. Somehow he got in. This was his first real chance to escape. His first shot at greatness. But there was one problem. He couldn't swim. At 6 feet tall and 300 pounds, swimming wasn't just hard. It was terrifying. He had a deep fear of water rooted in childhood trauma. Still, he tried, he trained, he pushed himself, and yet, he quit. He couldn't make it through the Air Force's underwater training. The fear was too strong. The self-doubt was louder than his will, so he dropped out of pararescue training and took a safer military role instead. And just like that, the door to his dream slammed shut. He left the military. He went back to civilian life. Back to the same old habits, back to being overweight, back to a dead-end job spraying for cockroaches at restaurants and gas stations. He was miserable. He had failed. Again. Rock bottom. At 24 years old, David Goggins weighed nearly 300 pounds. He was working night shifts, eating fast food, and avoiding mirrors. One night he came home from work, sat on the couch, and turned on the TV. A documentary about Navy SEALs was playing. He watched as men crawled through freezing mud, carried boats on their heads, and screamed through pain. But instead of laughing, he felt something rise inside of him. Those men are free. They own themselves. That night, for the first time in a long time, he wanted something. He didn't want comfort. He wanted purpose. Callous your mind. Most people avoid discomfort, but David Goggins began to do the opposite. He called it callousing the mind. Just like your hands build calluses through hard work, your mind gets stronger by doing hard things daily. So Goggins made a decision that would change everything. He would become a Navy SEAL. There was only one problem. The Navy requires candidates to weigh under 191 pounds. He weighed 297, and he had only 3 months to lose more than 100 pounds. Operation Impossible. This is where the story takes a turn, from hopelessness to hardcore transformation. Goggins threw away the junk food. He started waking up at 4:30 a.m. to run, even when he was in pain. He stopped making excuses. He started tracking every calorie, every mile, every rep. There were no shortcuts, no trainers, no praise, just suffering, repetition, and commitment. And he loved it, because for the first time he wasn't chasing approval. He was chasing honor, discipline, power. He was building something inside himself that no one could take away. 3 months of hell, every day was a battle. His legs bled, his lungs burned. He passed out from dehydration, threw up from exhaustion, cried from pain. But he didn't stop. He would scream in his own mind, "Who are you, Goggins? What are you made of?" And then he'd answer, "I'm the man who refuses to quit." In just under 90 days, he lost the weight. He went from nearly 300 pounds to 190. He called Navy recruiters every day until one finally said yes. Most people would celebrate, not Goggins. He knew the war had just begun. Challenge 2, build your calluses. Here's your challenge. Find something that sucks and do it every day. It could be running in the cold, reading a book cover to cover, waking up earlier, doing push-ups when you don't want to. Whatever it is, choose it. Embrace it. Because comfort is the enemy of growth. And pain. Pain is the passport to your potential. Becoming your own hero. Goggins didn't transform because someone believed in him. He transformed because he stopped waiting for permission. He realized something simple but life-changing. Nobody is going to save you. You have to save yourself. He started talking to himself, not with self-pity, but with power. He said, "I'm not who I was, I'm who I'm building." And that building began with doing the hard thing, daily. Final thoughts don't stop at 40%. This chapter ends with one of the most iconic lessons in the book, the 40% rule. When your mind tells you to stop, when you're tired, bored, overwhelmed, done, you're actually only at 40% of your capacity. Most people live their entire lives never accessing the other 60%. Because it hurts. Because it's hard. Because greatness demands sacrifice. But if you push just a little more, if you silence the excuses, if you lean into discomfort instead of away from it, you'll discover a truth most people never learn. You are far more powerful than you think. Chapter 3: Embracing the Suck. David Goggins didn't just want to become a Navy SEAL, he needed it. Not for medals, not for pride, but to prove something to the world, and to himself. When he showed up at Navy SEAL training, he entered what's famously known as Hell Week. It's the ultimate test of physical pain, mental exhaustion, and emotional suffering. For most, it's a breaking point. For Goggins, it was the forge that would melt down the man he was and shape the warrior he was becoming. From the very first hour, his body was under attack. No sleep, freezing water, endless running, screaming instructors, sand rubbing his skin raw. Most quit in the first day, some by the hour. But Goggins stayed. He wasn't the strongest or the fastest. But he had something else, a refusal to surrender. He told himself, "I'm not leaving. I didn't come this far to quit like everybody else." He looked around at the others. Some were athletes, some had college degrees. But many of them rang the bell, the symbol of quitting, because they weren't mentally ready for the pain. Goggins used the pain as fuel. He welcomed it. "Embrace the suck," he whispered to himself through clenched teeth. And with every mile, every icy plunge, every night without sleep, he began building a mental callus thicker than steel. But then something happened. His body gave out. His shins were splintered with stress fractures. He couldn't walk straight. He was coughing up blood. And just like that, he was pulled out of training. Medically disqualified, removed from Hell Week, just inches from finishing. It was devastating. He had come so far, suffered so much, and now it was taken away. But here's the difference between Goggins and the rest. He didn't treat failure as a wall. He treated it like a detour. He spent months healing, studying, growing. And when he was allowed to return, he started Hell Week again. A second time, more pain, more suffering, and again he was injured. Again he was pulled out, another failure. Most people would have accepted fate, not Goggins. He came back a third time, broken body, scarred mind, but unbreakable spirit, and this time he finished. That's the lesson. Resilience isn't about never falling, it's about refusing to stay down. Most people give themselves an out, an excuse. Goggins eliminated the option to quit. He burned the boats. He said, "I'm going to die before I ring that bell." That's the warrior mindset. And it doesn't just apply to the battlefield, it applies to everything: school, work, relationships, fitness, goals. Life will punch you in the face, sometimes repeatedly. But pain is just weakness leaving the body if you allow it. Goggins teaches that suffering is the most honest form of education. It shows you who you really are when comfort is stripped away. In the moment when you want to stop, when you want to give up, that's when your real self shows up, and that self, that's who you've been running from your whole life. But if you stand and face it, if you look in the mirror and say, "Let's go to war," you'll find out you're capable of far more than anyone ever told you. Most people tiptoe through life hoping to make it safely to death. Goggins chose to run headfirst into pain, to challenge it, to conquer it, And in doing so, he became more than a Navy SEAL. He became a symbol of what's possible when you embrace the suck and never quit. Chapter 4. Taking Souls. David Goggins discovered something powerful during Hell Week. Something that turned pain into a weapon and suffering into fuel. He calls it taking souls. It's the moment when people expect you to break, but instead you rise. It's when you go beyond all limits, and in doing so, you break the spirit of those watching. In his second attempt at Hell Week, Goggins was exhausted, physically shattered, barely able to move, but still standing. The instructors were relentless, pushing him and the other trainees to the edge. They screamed, they tested, they tortured. But instead of folding, Goggins smiled. He laughed in their faces. He brought energy when others were falling apart. That smile wasn't weakness, it was a psychological weapon. The instructors didn't know what to do with someone who wouldn't break. Goggins says that's when you take souls. Not just survive the moment, but dominate it so hard that it shakes your enemies. He realized suffering could be flipped. It could be turned into power. When you perform beyond expectation, you take something from those around you. You take their assumptions, their control, their sense of superiority, and in that moment, you own them. He didn't stop there. After finally completing SEAL training, Goggins was sent on missions and continued pushing himself beyond normal. But taking souls became a mindset he carried into everything. Ultramarathons, pull-up records, Ironman races. No matter the challenge, he looked at the competition and thought, "They don't know me. They don't know what I've been through. I'm going to show them." In one race, he ran 100 miles with no formal training. Breaking bones in his feet, urinating blood, nearly collapsing, and still finishing. Why? Because pain was his home, and in that suffering he stole the souls of every runner who thought he would quit. He flipped their belief. He turned doubt into fear. He fed off their expectations and destroyed them. That's what soul-taking is. It's a tool you use when you've got nothing left physically, but your mind still refuses to lose. Goggins wants you to take this into your own life. If you're at work and someone underestimates you, show up earlier, work harder, learn faster. Take their soul by outperforming them so completely that their ego cracks. If you're in school and someone says you're not smart enough, study until your name is at the top. If your life is filled with people waiting for you to fail, give them a front row seat to your success. This is not about revenge. It's about showing the world and yourself that limits are fake. It's about dominating the moment so thoroughly that no one ever questions your strength again. But you don't do it with hate. You do it with focus. You do it with relentless energy. You do it by channeling every doubt, insult, and obstacle into pure fire. Most people get crushed by pressure. Goggins turns pressure into power. Taking souls is about control. It's about taking control of a moment and rewriting how the world sees you. It's not about arrogance, it's about reclaiming your power. Life will try to break you. People will doubt you, some will want to see you fail. But when you rise in those moments, when you smile while bleeding, when you keep going, when everything inside says stop, you earn a power no one can take. That's soul-taking, and once you've done it once, you'll never want to stop. Chapter 5. The Accountability Mirror. David Goggins was once a man filled with lies. He lied to himself about who he was, what he was capable of, and why his life wasn't changing. He blamed the world, his past, his circumstances. But one night, standing in front of the bathroom mirror, he realized something powerful. No one was coming to save him. No one was going to fix his body, his mind, or his future. The only person who could change his life was the one staring back at him. So he started using what he called the accountability mirror. It wasn't a mirror of motivation or compliments. It was brutal, raw, and honest. Every night he looked into that mirror and called himself out. If he was lazy, he said it. If he skipped a workout, he owned it. If he made excuses, he destroyed them. and to push himself further, he began writing post-it notes, little truths about what he needed to fix. Fat, weak, scared, undisciplined. Not to shame himself, but to ignite a fire. He stuck those notes on the mirror and faced them daily. That mirror became his battleground. Each note was a mission. Each flaw was a target. Most people hide from their weaknesses. Goggins hunted his. He knew that real growth doesn't come from comfort. It comes from confronting the ugliest parts of yourself and deciding to kill them one by one. When you lie to yourself, you steal your future. When you face yourself, you create it. The accountability mirror forces you to stop pretending. It forces you to become your own coach, your own motivator, your own drill sergeant. And in that process, you build something no one can touch, self-respect. Goggins says that most people want growth, but they don't want pain. They want confidence, but not the discipline. They want results, but not the responsibility. The accountability mirror gives you all of it, because it strips away the stories and shows you the truth. And once you see the truth, you have a choice. Stay the same or get to work. Goggins didn't become a Navy SEAL, an ultramarathon runner, or a world record holder because he was special. He became those things because he refused to lie to himself. He knew he was broken. He knew he was weak. And instead of hiding it, he exposed it. He wrote it down. He stared it in the face. And then he went to war with it. Every post-it note on that mirror became a promise. I will run tomorrow. I will stop eating junk. I will study harder. And every time he completed one, he added another, not to beat himself down, but to build himself up, honestly, relentlessly, and with no shortcuts. That's what makes the accountability mirror so powerful. It becomes a sacred space of transformation, not through positive affirmations, but through savage truth. If you want to change your life, don't wait for motivation. Don't wait for perfect timing. Walk to the mirror tonight. Look at yourself. Say the things you've been avoiding. Write them down. Own them. Then ask, what am I going to do about it? That question will haunt you, or it will empower you. And if you answer it with action every single day, you'll start becoming someone you barely recognize. Stronger, sharper, and more focused than you ever imagined. The accountability mirror isn't about shame. It's about ownership. And the more you own your flaws, the more control you take back from the world. You stop being a victim and start being the architect of your life. The mirror doesn't lie, it reflects. And what you do with that reflection determines everything. Chapter 6, The 40% Rule. David Goggins learned something brutal yet liberating during his journey through pain, and it shattered everything he thought he knew about limits. He calls it the 40% rule. It means that when your mind tells you you're done, when you think you've hit the wall, when everything in your body screams to stop, you're only at 40% of your actual potential. Most people live their entire lives operating within that 40%, never pushing beyond discomfort, never testing the truth of their limits. But Goggins discovered that the real you begins when the excuses end. He hit this realization during his infamous 100-mile run, the one he attempted with no proper training, on broken feet in excruciating pain. At mile 70, he was finished. At least that's what his mind told him. He was cramping, vomiting, nearly blind from dehydration. But something inside him said, "Keep going." And he did. Mile by mile, step by step, he went past the point of exhaustion. Past the threshold of pain and into a place very few people ever see, a place where you meet your true self. The 40% rule isn't just about physical endurance. It's a tool for life. When you're studying and feel burnt out, when you're grinding at work and want to quit, when your relationship gets tough and your instincts scream to walk away, that's your 40%. Your brain is a survival machine. It's designed to protect, not to evolve. It wants to conserve energy, avoid discomfort, and keep you safe. But safe is a lie. Growth is not safe. Excellence is not comfortable. Greatness demands suffering, and most people never experience it because they listen to the voice that says stop instead of the one that whispers more. Goggins learned to silence the first voice. He trained himself to push when his mind said quit. He made pain his companion and turned struggle into fuel, and once he crossed that 40% barrier, he saw it for what it was, a gate. Not a wall, not the end. Just the beginning of a life without limits. This isn't about being reckless, it's about being relentless. Goggins doesn't suggest ignoring serious injury or abandoning rest, but he's brutally clear that most people have never even come close to giving their all. They mistake discomfort for danger. They confuse inconvenience for impossibility. But the truth is, if you want to unlock your potential, you have to learn to suffer. Not suffer without purpose, but suffer with strategy. Every time you resist the urge to quit, every time you say one more rep, one more hour, one more step, you're expanding that 40% ceiling. And over time, that ceiling becomes your new floor. Your capacity grows, your tolerance grows, your discipline sharpens, and eventually you become someone unrecognizable to your former self. Goggins used the 40% rule to break records, complete ultra-endurance races, and dominate elite military training. But more importantly, he used it to rebuild a shattered life, a life filled with trauma, racism, failure, and fear. He didn't erase that pain, he weaponized it. He used it to callous his mind, to fuel his transformation, and to inspire others to do the same. And now he passes the 40% rule to you, not as inspiration, but as a challenge. Next time you feel like quitting, remember that you're likely not even halfway. Your body will lie. Your emotions will betray you. But if you can push just a little more, you'll find a second wind. Then another, and with each push, you'll find out who you really are. Chapter 7. The Governor. David Goggins introduces a powerful metaphor in this chapter. The Governor. Just like a physical governor on a car engine limits how fast it can go, your brain has an internal governor that limits your performance. This governor tells you when to stop, when to slow down, when you've done enough. It's built from fear, past trauma, insecurity, and societal programming. And while it's designed to keep you safe, it also keeps you average. Goggins realized during his training, his races, and his life battles that if he wanted to unlock his full potential, he had to bypass that mental governor. He had to override it with intentional suffering, consistent effort, and a refusal to accept what his mind told him was enough. The brain wants to avoid risk. It's wired to conserve energy and keep you in the comfort zone. But growth doesn't live there. Breakthroughs don't happen there. So Goggins decided to override that system. Every time he hit a wall in Bud's training, in ultramarathons, or in his brutal pull-up world record attempts, he recognized that it wasn't the end. It was the governor kicking in. He didn't see pain as a stop sign. He saw it as a signal, a signpost telling him he was entering a new level of growth. The key is not to be reckless, but to be aware. To understand that the first wave of exhaustion, fear, or discomfort is almost never real danger. It's just the governor trying to shut things down. Most people accept this limit. They stop when they feel tired, when they get criticized, when progress feels slow. But Goggins teaches that if you can lean into that resistance, push a little further each time, you'll start expanding your capacity and weakening the governor's grip. He gives the example of his infamous pull-up record attempts. He failed the first time, then the second. On the third try, he succeeded. Not because he got stronger overnight. He succeeded because he finally understood how to silence that internal limiter. He broke it down hour by hour, rep by rep, pain by pain, and that's the deeper message of this chapter. Limits are illusions. They're learned. They're conditioned. And they can be unlearned through voluntary hardship. This process isn't glamorous. It's ugly. It's brutal. It takes everything you have and demands more. But on the other side of that effort is greatness. Goggins challenges us to identify our own governors. Are you holding back because of past failure? Are you afraid of judgment, discomfort, or effort? Those are governors, and the only way to disable them is to confront them head on. You disable them by proving them wrong. You override them by doing what they tell you is impossible. Whether it's waking up at 4 a.m., running further than you ever have, facing a hard conversation, or simply doing the work when no one's watching. It all chips away at those internal barriers, and with every chip you become more free, more focused, more dangerous to your limitations. This chapter isn't about physical strength, it's about mental liberation. You've been programmed to believe you have limits and you've been living within them, but they're not real. They're adjustable. And the tool that adjusts them is suffering. Not passive suffering, but intentional, chosen, disciplined suffering. Goggins wants you to build calluses on your mind the same way you build them on your hands. Through repetition, through pressure, through enduring what most people run from. The governor can be silenced, but you have to be willing to get uncomfortable. To be honest about where you're holding back and to commit to breaking through, one painful step at a time. Chapter 8, Talent Not Required. In this chapter, David Goggins shatters one of the most accepted myths in the world, that success is reserved for the naturally talented. He tells us flat out, talent is overrated. It's a convenient excuse, a societal crutch, a way to rationalize laziness and mediocrity. Goggins didn't come from greatness. He was born into chaos, raised on fear, beaten down by life, and repeatedly told that he would never amount to anything. No one looked at him and said, "That guy is going to be a Navy SEAL." No one saw a future record-breaking endurance athlete in the overweight, depressed exterminator he used to be. But he didn't care what they saw. He cared about what he was willing to become. And he decided that hard work beats talent every time talent doesn't work hard. He proved that with effort, obsession, and relentless self-discipline, anyone can go far beyond what they or others believe possible. He recounts how he transformed himself, not once but multiple times, not by magic but by choice. He studied harder than anyone to pass the ASVAB for the military. He trained harder than anyone to survive Hell Week. 3 times. He ran when his legs were broken. He competed when his body begged him to quit. Not because he had special abilities, but because he had a special mindset. One that rejected excuses, comfort, and average standards. The truth Goggins drives home is uncomfortable. Most people want results, but don't want to suffer. They want transformation without tribulation. They want growth without grit. But the real world doesn't work that way. Nothing worth having comes without hardship, and nothing lasting is built without consistent, deliberate action. Goggins tells the story of how people doubted him constantly. They said he wasn't smart enough, fast enough, strong enough. But instead of defending himself, he let his actions do the talking. He got obsessed with improvement. He made suffering a ritual, not a punishment. He turned himself into the most driven man alive, not because he had to, but because he chose to. That's the power of ownership. When you stop blaming your past, your parents, your genes, your circumstances, and start owning your future, you become unstoppable. He reminds us that everyone has access to the same tool: effort. Talent may give someone a head start, but it doesn't guarantee they'll finish. Effort always wins in the long run because effort builds character, and character lasts longer than motivation, emotion, or external praise. He uses the example of successful athletes and students who coast on talent early in life, only to collapse when things get hard. Meanwhile, the grinders, the ones who had to earn every inch, develop mental toughness that can't be faked or broken. Goggins invites you to join that group. He challenges you to take a brutally honest inventory of your life. Where are you hiding behind excuses? Where are you waiting for permission? Where are you hoping for talent instead of training for skill? He says it plainly. You don't need talent. You need hunger. You need accountability. You need to stop negotiating with weakness. And you need to realize that effort repeated over time creates its own kind of genius. The message here is simple and clear. Talent is optional. Effort is mandatory. You don't have to be special to do something special. You just have to be willing to do what others won't. You have to be willing to look stupid, fail often, and rise anyway. Most people avoid pain, but pain is the gateway to greatness. Most people avoid discomfort, but discomfort is the currency of growth. Goggins didn't become a warrior because he was born different. He became a warrior because he decided to fight for his future, and now it's your turn. The only question that matters is this: how hard are you willing to work? Chapter 9. Taking Souls. David Goggins introduces the concept of taking souls as a mental tactic he developed to win not only physical battles but psychological ones. Taking souls means going beyond what is expected, surpassing limitations, and outworking everyone around you so completely that you gain a psychological edge over your opponents and even over your own self-doubt. It's about showing up when others quit, digging deeper when others fold, and turning your pain and struggle into fuel that intimidates and overwhelms obstacles. Goggins discovered this mindset during military training and ultra-endurance races when he realized that the greatest power is not physical strength alone, but the ability to dominate the mental battlefield. He tells how in Navy SEAL training, when others dropped out due to pain or fear, he chose to push harder, not just to finish, but to take control of the situation. This approach unsettled his competitors and instructors alike, because it showed a level of resilience and aggression few could match. Taking souls is the refusal to be beaten mentally. It's turning suffering into a weapon. It's using every moment of weakness in others to rise stronger and more confident. Goggins stresses that this is not about cruelty or arrogance. It's about fighting smart and owning your circumstances, especially when things are at their worst. The idea of taking souls extends beyond competition or military training. Goggins explains how he applied it to his personal struggles, racism, childhood abuse, self-doubt, and turned those experiences into strengths. Instead of allowing pain to break him, he made the decision to use it to rise above, to break the mental chains of victimhood and powerlessness. He emphasizes that everyone has the power to take souls, but few realize it because it requires embracing discomfort and stepping into the arena when others run away. It demands an unshakable belief in yourself and a willingness to suffer more than anyone else. Goggins recounts a race where he was lagging behind but kept pushing past his physical and mental limits to finish strong, overtaking runners who had already given up. That moment was when he truly understood the power of taking souls. It wasn't just about winning a race. It was about proving to himself that he could dominate any challenge by sheer will. He also shares how this mindset helped him through the brutal pull-up challenge, breaking records by refusing to give up even when his body begged for mercy. The principle is simple. When everyone else folds, you get stronger. When everyone else quits, you take souls. He challenges readers to apply this mindset in their own lives. Whether at work, in relationships, or during personal goals, taking souls means going the extra mile, pushing through fear and fatigue, and standing tall in the face of adversity. It's about outlasting and outworking not only others but your own inner doubts and limitations. Goggins believes this approach transforms suffering from a liability into an asset, a secret weapon that shifts power back to you. You stop being the victim of your circumstances and become the master of your fate. Ultimately, taking souls is a call to action. It's a declaration that you will not be beaten by pain, failure, or fear. You will not quit when things get hard. You will rise, you will fight, and you will take control. This mindset turned Goggins from a broken man into an unstoppable force, and it can do the same for anyone willing to embrace the struggle. The only question is, are you ready to take souls? Chapter 10. Empowerment Through Failure. David Goggins reveals one of the most important lessons he learned on his journey. Failure is not the enemy. It's the greatest teacher. He explains that throughout his life he faced countless failures. Failed military attempts, personal setbacks, physical injuries, and mental breakdowns. At first, these failures crushed him, making him question his worth and purpose. But over time, he learned to embrace failure as a necessary step toward growth and success. Failure exposed his weaknesses, highlighted his blind spots, and forced him to confront uncomfortable truths. Instead of avoiding failure, he began to seek it out intentionally, knowing that each failure contained valuable lessons and opportunities for improvement. Goggins discusses how many people are terrified of failure because they tie their identity and self-worth to their success. They see failure as shameful, as proof they're not good enough. But Goggins flips this narrative by demonstrating how failure is actually the foundation of resilience and mental toughness. He recounts his experiences where failures humbled him, but also pushed him to work harder, train smarter, and strengthen his mind. He stresses that the pain and humiliation of failure are temporary, but the wisdom gained is lifelong. He calls failure a gift because it gives you clarity about where to focus your effort next. He shares vivid stories of failures during Hell Week and ultra-endurance races where he wanted to quit, but instead chose to learn from each setback. The ability to bounce back and keep going is what separated him from those who gave up. Goggins explains that when you reframe failure as feedback rather than defeat, you unlock a powerful mindset that turns obstacles into stepping stones. This mindset fuels relentless persistence, enabling you to take on challenges that seem impossible. The difference between those who succeed and those who don't, he says, is how they respond to failure. Goggins also dives into the importance of accountability. He argues that owning your failures, being brutally honest with yourself, and refusing to make excuses is key to empowerment. Only when you accept your shortcomings can you develop a plan to overcome them. He challenges readers to write down their failures, study them, and use them as fuel rather than a source of shame. This practice forces a level of self-awareness that breaks through mental barriers and creates a roadmap for success. The chapter ends with a powerful reminder. Failure is inevitable, but quitting is optional. The strongest people aren't those who never fail. They are the ones who fail, learn, adapt, and keep moving forward with greater determination. Goggins calls on you to shift your relationship with failure from fear to curiosity, from avoidance to embrace. When you do, you will discover untapped reserves of strength, resilience, and mental freedom. Failure no longer controls you. Empowerment through failure becomes your new reality. Chapter 11. The Accountability Mirror. David Goggins introduces a powerful daily practice he calls the Accountability Mirror, a tool he used to transform his life by facing the brutal truth about himself every day. He explains that the Accountability Mirror isn't just about self-reflection. It's about radical honesty. It means looking into your own eyes in the mirror and calling yourself out on your weaknesses, your lies, your excuses, and your failures without flinching or sugarcoating. This practice forces you to confront the real reasons you haven't achieved what you want and take full responsibility for your life. Goggins found that only when he faced himself with complete honesty could he start to build the discipline and mindset necessary for extraordinary growth. He describes how he would write motivational messages, tough truths, and goals on sticky notes and plaster them on his mirror as daily reminders to hold himself accountable. This visual confrontation helped him stay focused, motivated, and brutally honest when the going got tough. The mirror became a battlefield where he fought his inner demons, insecurities, and fears. Goggins stresses that most people avoid this kind of honesty because it's uncomfortable. But avoiding it keeps them trapped in denial and mediocrity. The mirror is the place where excuses die and commitment is born. Goggins shares personal stories about times when he was overweight, depressed, and directionless. But through the accountability mirror, he started to see where he was sabotaging himself. He realized that blaming others or circumstances was pointless. The only way forward was to own everything, his failures, his shortcomings, and his dreams. This practice helped him develop an unbreakable mindset because it removed the mental clutter and lies he told himself. The mirror showed him the path he needed to take, no matter how difficult. He encourages readers to create their own accountability mirror practice by setting aside time every day to look themselves in the eye and have an honest conversation about their progress and setbacks. Goggins believes that this habit breeds self-awareness, resilience, and the courage to make hard changes. Without it, growth is shallow and temporary. With it, transformation becomes inevitable. The chapter emphasizes that mental toughness starts with owning your truth and holding yourself to the highest standard even when no one else is watching. Ultimately, the accountability mirror is more than a practice. It's a mindset. It's a daily commitment to face reality, reject excuses, and demand more from yourself. It's how Goggins turned pain into power and weakness into strength, and it's how anyone can begin the journey toward becoming mentally unbreakable. Chapter 12. Building Calloused Mind. David Goggins explains that just like physical calluses form on hands and feet from repeated friction and stress, the mind can develop a similar kind of toughness through consistent exposure to hardship and challenge. He calls this mental toughness a calloused mind. It is built by deliberately placing yourself in uncomfortable situations, enduring pain, rejection, and failure until your mental resilience grows strong enough to withstand life's toughest moments. He shares how, throughout his life, Goggins sought out discomfort intentionally, whether through brutal workouts, cold exposure, or tackling difficult tasks, to harden his mind. Each painful experience acted like a mental rep, building strength and resilience. Rather than avoiding pain or hardship, he embraced it as essential for growth. The calloused mind becomes a shield against fear, self-doubt, and negative thoughts. Goggins stresses that developing a calloused mind isn't about becoming numb or emotionless. It's about learning to control your reactions, remain calm under pressure, and keep pushing forward despite obstacles. This mindset allowed him to face adversity head-on and persevere when others gave up. He urges readers to challenge themselves regularly by stepping outside comfort zones and seeking new difficulties as a way to build their own mental calluses. He also discusses how mental callousing helps in managing failure and setbacks by reducing their emotional impact. When your mind is calloused, disappointments sting less and become opportunities for growth. This mental toughness fuels self-confidence and the ability to take on increasingly demanding goals. The chapter closes with a practical challenge. Find ways to expose yourself to controlled hardship daily, whether it's waking up early, taking cold showers, pushing through tough workouts, or confronting fears. And over time, you will develop a mind as tough as steel. Goggins reminds us that true strength is forged through struggle, and a calloused mind is the foundation of becoming unbreakable. Chapter 14. The Cookie Jar. David Goggins introduces a mental tool he calls the cookie jar, a powerful way to boost motivation and overcome moments of doubt or weakness. The cookie jar is a mental repository where you store memories of your past victories, accomplishments, and moments of personal triumph. When faced with difficult challenges or feelings of despair, Reaching into your cookie jar allows you to recall these successes, reminding yourself of your inner strength and resilience. Goggins explains that everyone faces times when the mind wants to quit or give up, but by consciously pulling from your cookie jar, you can reignite your confidence and courage. The memories in this mental jar act like little rewards or cookies that fuel perseverance. They remind you that if you have overcome hardship before, you can do it again. This practice shifts focus away from pain and discomfort toward proof of your capability and toughness. He shares stories from his own life where, during grueling endurance events or brutal training sessions, he mentally reached into his cookie jar, remembering past struggles he'd conquered, whether beating cancer, enduring Navy SEAL training, or overcoming personal loss. These memories gave him the strength to push through unbearable pain and fatigue. Goggins stresses that building your own cookie jar requires actively acknowledging and celebrating your successes, no matter how small, so they become accessible when you need them most. The chapter also covers how to create and use your cookie jar effectively. Goggins advises writing down your proudest moments, times when you overcame adversity, and instances where you exceeded expectations. Review these regularly so they become ingrained in your memory. Then, whenever life gets tough, consciously call upon these memories to fuel your determination. Ultimately, the cookie jar is about cultivating self-belief and resilience through reflection on your personal history of strength. It's a mental strategy that transforms past victories into present power, enabling you to keep fighting when your mind screams to quit. Goggins challenges you to fill your cookie jar daily and never forget the warrior inside you. Chapter 14. Taking Souls. David Goggins reveals a mindset strategy he calls Taking Souls, which he developed during his military training and ultra-endurance challenges. This concept is about gaining a psychological edge over your opponents or any obstacles you face by demonstrating relentless determination and unexpected strength when others expect you to fail. It's about showing up stronger and more focused in moments when people doubt you, thereby stealing their souls by outperforming and outlasting them. Goggins explains that taking souls is not about harming others, but about proving to yourself and others that you are unbreakable. When you push beyond pain, exhaustion, or discouragement, especially when those around you have given up or doubted you, you send a powerful message that you are mentally tougher than the challenge itself. This creates a shift in the dynamic where your perseverance demoralizes the opposition and builds your own confidence. He shares personal stories from Navy SEAL Hell Week and ultra marathons where he intentionally pushed harder when others slowed down or quit. This approach helped him gain respect and dominance in highly competitive environments. Taking souls became a way to reframe pain and fatigue as opportunities to assert mental supremacy rather than moments of weakness. Goggins stresses that this mindset can be applied beyond sports or military contexts. It works in any life situation where you face adversity or competition. Whether it's dealing with criticism, overcoming setbacks, or facing personal battles. Adopting the taking souls mentality means you don't just endure hardship. You conquer it in a way that commands respect and inspires others. The chapter encourages readers to develop this mindset by practicing relentless effort even when discouraged and by finding ways to surprise doubters with your resilience. It requires embracing discomfort, rejecting excuses, and mentally preparing to outlast any challenge. Goggins warns that taking souls is about internal strength and honor, not cruelty. It's about lifting yourself through the adversity, not tearing others down. In conclusion, taking souls is a transformational tool for building mental toughness and confidence. It turns hardship into a proving ground where you emerge stronger and more respected. Goggins challenges you to find moments in your own life where you can push beyond limits and take souls, showing the world your unbreakable spirit. Chapter 15, Empowerment Through Failure. David Goggins dives deep into the idea that failure is not a dead end, but a powerful tool for growth and mental empowerment. He shares that throughout his life, from childhood trauma to military setbacks and ultra-endurance races, failure was a constant companion. But instead of letting failure define him negatively, he chose to embrace it as a critical stepping stone toward success. Goggins explains that many people fear failure because it bruises the ego and triggers shame. However, he argues that failure is one of the best teachers you can have. Each failure reveals weaknesses, gaps in preparation, or mental barriers that, once recognized, become opportunities for improvement. The key is to stop fearing failure and start seeking it out deliberately, using it to build mental toughness and resilience. He recounts specific failures, like being told he couldn't complete SEAL training multiple times, and how those experiences fueled his determination to come back stronger. Goggins's mindset was to view every failure as a challenge to break his previous limits, not as a reason to quit. This approach allowed him to endure grueling training and ultramarathons that most would consider impossible. The chapter emphasizes the importance of developing a mindset that welcomes failure as a necessary part of growth. Goggins advises readers to reframe setbacks as feedback rather than defeat. He suggests tracking failures and analyzing them honestly, then adjusting efforts accordingly. This builds a cycle of continuous self-improvement rooted in accountability and resilience. Importantly, Goggins stresses that failure only becomes a problem if you let it stop you. By embracing failure and learning from it, you cultivate an empowered mindset where obstacles become opportunities. This mental shift transforms you into someone who grows stronger with every challenge, rather than shrinking from adversity. In closing, Goggins challenges readers to intentionally push themselves into situations where failure is possible and to celebrate the lessons it brings. He reminds us that the road to becoming unbreakable is paved with failures embraced and conquered. Failure, when harnessed correctly, becomes the greatest asset on the path to mental strength and lasting success. Chapter 16. Mastering the Governor in Your Mind. David Goggins introduces a powerful analogy, the governor in your mind. Just like a governor on an engine restricts its full capacity to protect it from overuse, your mind has a built-in mental governor that limits how hard you push, how far you go, and how much you achieve. According to Goggins, this internal limiter kicks in whenever you begin to feel pain, discomfort, or fear. Not because you're truly at your limit, but because your mind is trying to keep you safe. He explains that this governor is not your true capacity. It's simply a survival mechanism created by years of conditioning, comfort, and the avoidance of pain. When you start pushing yourself and your heart races or your body aches, the mind says, "Stop." But Goggins argues this is the moment you need to override the governor, not obey it. Goggins shares stories from ultra races, military training, and brutal workouts where he felt his mind trying to slow him down. But instead of quitting, he trained himself to recognize that moment as a signal to push harder, not back off. Over time, he developed the ability to go beyond his mind's limits, discovering that true potential only appears after you override the mental governor. He clarifies that this isn't about recklessly ignoring pain or risking injury. It's about distinguishing between real danger and manufactured limitation. Most people quit at 40% of their actual capability, he says, because the governor tells them they're done. By learning to operate past that point, you unlock your full potential, mentally, physically, and emotionally. To train this skill, Goggins recommends doing things that make you uncomfortable every day. Cold showers, tough workouts, emotional conversations, intense focus sessions, all are ways to test your limit and recalibrate the governor. The more often you override that default setting, the weaker it becomes. Eventually, your new normal becomes what used to feel impossible. The chapter ends with a challenge. Identify when your mental governor kicks in, during a workout, a project, or a hard conversation, and don't quit. Instead, stay with the pain, recognize it as a gatekeeper, and push through. That's where your true self lives. That's where greatness begins. Chapter 17, The Accountability Equation. David Goggins dives into the concept of radical self-accountability, pushing far beyond simple responsibility. He explains that most people lie to themselves daily about their effort, discipline, fears, and dreams. They soften the truth, blame others, or avoid their flaws. But real growth begins only when you face the brutal facts about who you are and what you're avoiding. Goggins calls this unfiltered honesty the accountability equation. Brutal truth, consistent action, self-mastery. Goggins emphasizes that you cannot fix what you won't admit. He encourages people to stop blaming external conditions like time, money, or others for their failures. Instead, look in the mirror and accept what's missing in your effort, mindset, or preparation. This mirror becomes your tool, not for criticism, but for clarity and recalibration. He revisits how, at 297 pounds, he was in denial about how far he'd drifted from discipline. Instead of accepting weakness as fate, he faced it head-on and built a system of accountability. This included tracking every calorie, every run, every minute of sleep, every decision. His success wasn't driven by motivation, but by data and discipline. Goggins urges readers to build their own accountability matrix. Write down everything you say you want, fitness, wealth, discipline, success, and then document what you're actually doing about it. Track the habits, behaviors, and excuses daily. Most people avoid this process because it exposes the gap between who they are and who they pretend to be. But that gap is the exact place where transformation begins. He points out that true accountability is painful at first, because it strips away your illusions. But over time, it becomes empowering. You stop needing external validation because your self-worth comes from the discipline of living in alignment with your values. You become immune to criticism because you already know where you're weak, and you're working on it. The chapter concludes with a challenge. For the next 30 days, take total ownership of every action, every excuse, every missed workout, every wasted hour. No blaming, no softening, no stories, just ruthless self-tracking. Over time, this practice doesn't just make you stronger, it makes you unstoppable. Chapter 18, The War Within. David Goggins opens this chapter by declaring that the most brutal battlefield he's ever faced isn't Hell Week, a 100-mile ultramarathon, or the depths of Navy SEAL training. It's the war inside his own mind. This war isn't fought with weapons or enemies. It's a silent, daily battle with fear, doubt, insecurity, and pain. It's the voice that says, "You're not good enough," or "You've already done enough." Goggins explains that learning to master this inner battlefield is the key to mastering everything else. He reveals that even after all his accomplishments, becoming a SEAL, completing ultra-endurance races, breaking pull-up records, his mind still tries to hold him back. It whispers to quit when he's tired, to settle when things get comfortable, or to take a break when progress gets hard. But instead of running from these voices, Goggins has trained himself to stand and fight them. This fight is relentless. Every day he wakes up and confronts the mental enemies waiting for him. Laziness, fear of failure, negative self-talk. Instead of giving them power, he faces them with preparation. He uses mental tools like visualization, discipline, and brutal truth to dismantle the lies his mind tells. He explains that your mind is like a wild dog, It must be tamed through repetition and consistent exposure to discomfort. Goggins also discusses how trauma and pain from the past feed the war within. Childhood abuse, racism, poverty, and rejection left emotional wounds that created mental triggers. But instead of using those as excuses, he turned them into fuel. He built mental calluses over time by choosing hard things, facing fear directly, and reminding himself daily that his scars are not signs of weakness. They are signs of survival. He urges the reader to look within. Find the mental patterns that keep you stuck. Identify the lies you tell yourself. Recognize the battles you avoid, then go toward them. Lean into the discomfort, embrace the hard conversations, and take control of your thoughts. Winning the war within doesn't happen all at once. It's a lifelong practice of choosing courage over comfort, action over avoidance, and truth over ease. The chapter ends with Goggins reminding us that we're all fighting something inside. The difference between those who rise and those who stay broken is the willingness to go to war daily, not just to survive, but to dominate the inner battlefield with relentless honesty, discipline, and grit. Chapter 19, The Calloused Mind. David Goggins introduces the concept of developing a calloused mind. A mind so tough, so resilient, and so conditioned to discomfort that it becomes nearly impervious to pain, fear, and external pressure. Just as physical calluses form on the hands through hard work and friction, mental calluses form through repeated exposure to adversity. Goggins explains that most people retreat from hardship, but those who willingly lean into it build an armor that changes their mental landscape forever. He shares a vivid account of training during freezing conditions with stress fractures and torn muscles, describing how he pushed himself not for a medal or applause, but to condition his mind. He knew that every step taken in pain, every breath through agony, was a strike against weakness. These weren't just workouts, they were battles with his lesser self, and each time he refused to quit, he added another layer to his mental callus. Goggins explains that developing a calloused mind requires more than doing hard things. It requires doing them consistently, especially when you don't feel like it. Comfort is the enemy of toughness. He argues that people rely too much on motivation, which fades quickly. But a calloused mind doesn't need motivation. It responds to discipline and routine. It shows up even when you're tired, scared, or doubting yourself. He also clarifies that callousing your mind is not about becoming emotionless or robotic. It's about learning how to function at a high level despite emotional turmoil, setbacks, or exhaustion. It's about learning how to push past the moment of I can't and into the territory of I will. Pain becomes a signal to push harder, not a reason to stop. One of the key practices Goggins recommends is keeping a discomfort journal. Every day, do one thing that makes you uncomfortable, mentally, physically, emotionally, and write about how you faced it. Over time, your tolerance builds and your threshold for discomfort expands. The stronger your mind, the more you can take on in life. He ends the chapter with a warning and a promise. If you choose to remain soft, the world will break you over and over. But if you choose to build a calloused mind, nothing can stop you. Not pain, not doubt, not failure. You will have the mental armor to walk through fire and keep moving forward. Chapter 20. The Governor in Your Brain. David Goggins introduces the metaphor of the governor, a built-in limiter in your mind that cuts your power before you're even close to empty. Just like a car has a governor to restrict its speed for safety, your mind has one to protect you from perceived danger, fatigue, and risk. But here's the truth. The governor isn't working in your favor. It's keeping you small, slow, and far from your potential. Goggins explains that when you feel like you're at your limit, whether in pain, fear, or exhaustion, you're usually only operating at 40% of your true capacity. That's not a motivational slogan. It's a survival mechanism hardwired into you by evolution. The mind convinces you to slow down or stop, not because you're broken, but because it's afraid. It sees fatigue, rejection, or discomfort as danger. But those are exactly the things you need to push through to grow. He recounts a moment during a 100-mile race where his body was shutting down. He was limping, vomiting blood, and could barely see. Every logical signal screamed for him to stop, but he didn't. Instead, he tapped into something deeper, a raw, ancient energy that told him he could go further. That moment was proof that the governor is not reality. It's a suggestion, and it can be overridden. Goggins offers a process. The next time you want to quit, don't. Pause and recognize that the governor is lying. You're not done. You're not broken. You're just uncomfortable. And discomfort is where the real work begins. Push just 5% more, then 10%. Each time you override the governor, it loses power. Your true capacity starts to emerge. To weaken the governor, you must expose yourself to difficult tasks regularly. Wake up early, run in the rain, lift heavier, study longer, speak up when you're afraid. These acts, though small, chip away at the limiter. Your body adapts, your mind adjusts. Soon what once felt impossible becomes routine. He also encourages reflection. Think back to a time when you thought you couldn't continue but did. That memory is proof the governor was lying. Collect those wins. Let them remind you that you're stronger than your excuses, bigger than your fear, and far from finished. The chapter ends with this truth. Your mind will always try to protect you. But you don't need protection. You need challenge. Stop living under the ceiling of limitation. Start dismantling the governor, and you'll finally meet the strongest version of yourself. Chapter 21. The Accountability Mirror, Revisited for Life. In this final chapter, David Goggins returns to one of the most important tools in his transformation, the Accountability Mirror. But now he revisits it not as the insecure, overweight teen seeking change, but as a man who has been through hell and carved strength from suffering. The mirror is no longer just a place of brutal honesty. It's a sacred space of daily truth, self-check, and internal growth. Goggins explains that transformation is not a one-time effort. The problem with most people is that they work hard for a goal, achieve it, and then slowly drift back to comfort. Why? Because they stop holding themselves accountable. They stop telling the truth. They stop doing the hard things that built them. The mirror is the daily reset button that keeps your identity aligned with your actions. He reveals that even now, after Navy SEAL training, ultramarathons, world records, and best-selling success, he still stands in front of the mirror every night. He still calls himself out. Not because he's weak, but because he knows weakness never truly disappears. It waits, it lurks, and if you're not honest every day, it sneaks back in. That's why the mirror remains his greatest ally. This chapter isn't about pushing limits or racing through pain. It's about sustaining the mindset that got you there. Goggins shares how success can soften you if you're not vigilant. The applause, the validation, the comfort, they're traps. He urges readers to stay hungry, stay uncomfortable, and stay brutally honest. The goal isn't just to become hard, it's to stay hard every day. He introduces a powerful idea. Build a lifestyle, not a moment. The challenge is not one race, one exam, or one job interview. It's showing up every day with discipline, humility, and relentless drive. The accountability mirror isn't just for calling out failure. It's also for celebrating quiet victories, the early wake-up, the extra set, the moment you didn't quit. Goggins ends the chapter with his final challenge. Never stop evolving. When you reach a peak, find the next one. When you succeed, raise your standard. When you fail, own it completely. And every night, look yourself in the eye, not for ego, not for punishment, but for the truth. Because the truth, no matter how hard, is the only path to freedom. He closes with this message. You are not finished, not today, not ever. Look in that mirror, tell yourself the truth, and then get after it.